Larry Rezavian is Out of Tone Checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. And looking at my book, it is number 381 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 64 degrees and some scattered sunshine right now, breaking through the clouds. We have our guest in studios this morning, and we're going to say good morning to Al Cullough. And Al brought his wife Margie along as well. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Fine, Si.
Great. And let's see, we've got a little bit of an echo going on there, so you can pull those mics right down in front of you there. There you go, then get right in there. All righty. So, with that, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ballrooms and stuff, but let's just do a little bit of recapping. Al, you were a concertina player, have been all your life, I think, huh? You were Tony and Betty's first student?
All the way up to a little over 2002, I should say.
2002 is when you kind of put it on the shelf?
We kind of gave it up. I developed a nerve in my arm, elbow.
Uh-huh.
And my two fingers got kind of numb out of it.
Oh, yes.
And therefore, I just had to give it up.
Okay.
I was going to do surgery on it, and then the first surgery I went to, doctor I went to, and it was an army doctor, and he says, just leave it alone and try to do the best. He says, if I go into it, he says, it might be a 50-50 chance it's going to come out.
Sure.
So then about a year or two later, my regular doctor asked me, did your arm ever turn out? I says, no. I says, I never had it done. Well, he says, maybe you want a second opinion. And I says, well, that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
So I went to the second doctor, and he checked it over, and you know, yeah, I can do it. When do you want to have it done? I can do it next week if you want to. I says, well, is it going to cure it? Is it going to, my finger's going to come out all right? He says, why are you so concerned? And I said, geez, I said, I got an old-time band. I played a concertina. He says, what's a concertina? And then I kind of decided then what I was going to do with him.
Yeah.
So I left it alone, and then I kept plugging along with it, and it kept getting worse. And then now finally, here a couple of years later, I had it done, and it never did come back.
So okay.
That first doctor was right.
Sure, yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's where it's at.
So you just live with it then.
You got to live with it,
yeah. And you live on the memories because you have a lot of great memories from the years playing, you bet. Where were you born and raised, Al?
In Avon, Avon, yeah.
Okay, on the farm out there?
On a farm, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on where Cullough Lake is out there?
Well, it's 2 miles sort of south of there yet.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. And how many kids were in the family?
There was 9 of us.
9 of you, and who was mom and dad?
John and Rose.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. And went to school where?
Right in the...
Country school?
Country school right
country
out
school.
There.
Oh, okay.
About 2.5 miles from the farm.
Oh, yes. Did you go on to any college or...
No, I went through high school.
High school?
That was about it.
Okay. High school where, in St. Cloud?
No, Albany.
Oh, in Albany. Okay. Yeah. Okay, very good. All righty.
Yeah.
And then right to work after that or...
After that, well, I stayed on a farm. My dad got in a car accident and then he was crippled for life.
Uh-huh.
So then I just got out of high school, so then I had to run the farm.
Okay.
Well, along with the brothers and sisters. Everybody helped out.
Sure.
But I stayed there until probably 1963 and 64.
Okay. So, and then started working some construction then?
Started working construction. Went in construction, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then where did the band come into?
Well, the band came in already in 1957.
In 57. Okay. You were still on the farm then, huh?
I was still on the farm, yep.
Okay. And just woke up one day and said you wanted to play concertina, or how did that come about?
Well, I played harmonica for many years.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I sat and played that, so.
And then you were good friends with Tony and Betty, huh?
Well, that's the way I got to know them. Christy Engels was supposed to bring my concertina up and practice on stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he never got around to it, and then the fall of that year, then Tony and Betty had their first display in Richmond.
Oh, yes.
And so I went there, and Then they rented me one, $5 down, $5 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah, that was good. And that was probably a little Arnold
that
back
was
then?
A little 76 key.
Yep. Double reed?
No, single reed.
A single reed, okay. Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I started on a double there.
Yeah,
so.
No single reed. It was just a little.
Oh, yeah.
They rent them to a lot of students then, way back then.
Sure.
That was a going thing.
You bet.
You didn't have much money tied up into them. They cost $75 new.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time making the $5 a month.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. And you became good friends with Tony and Betty.
Well, ever since, yeah.
You guys went fishing, hunting.
Hunting, yeah. We did it all. And Betty was the fisher. She could outfish us every time.
Yeah, that's for sure. And
sunfish or walleyes didn't make any difference.
And we remember Betty fondly because today it's 13 years ago since she passed away. Isn't that something? Yeah. And that lady did so much for old-time music in central Minnesota.
Yep.
I spent 5 years in that little music room there.
Oh, yeah.
Every Tuesday. Dad was playing drums with the Deutschmeisters, and that was the agreement they made that they would give me concertina lessons at a reduced price. And I didn't realize what I had back then, you know, but I got fairly good at it at that time. But of course, then as you get older, then other things get in the way. And so
everything else gets in the way, and then other things happen, but...
Yep. And so I've gotten back to it some since time, but boy, you think back how the fingers all worked back when you were, you know, 10, 12 years old compared to now. My goodness.
Well, mine never really got too fast because in construction, I had usually had a shovel or something in my hand digging in the dirt, you know, putting footings in and stuff.
Or if you had a hammer, you were always hitting the wrong nail, huh?
Hit the wrong nails. There was a lot of buddy spots sometimes on the keys when I got home at night yet.
Yep. So when did you form the Merrymakers Orchestra?
Well, that started really back in 1957.
In 57 already. Yeah. Okay. Who were the first guys in the band?
Tony Labuda and Jerry Simnich.
Jerry was guitar and Tony was
the drummer. Yeah.
Okay, three-piece.
Three-piece.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And since that time, boy, you had some good bands. You had, Jerry Blunigan on trumpet?
Jerry Blunigan, Johnny Culp was the first ones.
Uh-huh.
And then Jerry Simnich was a guitar player.
Yeah.
And then we had Andrew Miller was a bass horn player.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Me one, yeah.
And drummers, you went through a few of
drummers,
those?
Drummers, the first one was Victor Blunigan, and then Victor went to the Army, and his good friend, Melvin Mirror, he dropped the drums off at Melvin's place here. You got to go play with Al.
Yes. And we've never cornered Mel to get on the show here yet. We're going to have to do that one of these days.
He was a good drummer. Yeah. He is a good drummer.
He still is, yeah. I see it once in a while.
He plays with many bands today.
Yeah. And then you had Norm Scher for a while?
Norm Scher for a while, yeah. That's when Melvin went to the service and came back. Then he was working in cities for a while.
Okay.
So then Norman drummed for quite a few years.
Sure. And you guys were officers in the musicians union for a number of years together.
I think I was there probably out of the 66 years that I'm in there, probably 60 of those were officers.
Officer. And those were some good days too, huh?
Oh, yeah. They had good parties years ago and everything.
Every year they'd have, you know, most associations or whatever have a banquet or something, and they had that musicians' party every year.
I remember
Dad and Mom going to it back in the days. And then as I started playing, we joined and we got in, and oh, my gosh, those were. And Bill Bach was president for many years.
Yeah.
Tom Hislop was. Vice president,
sometimes.
And then who else was in there?
Normie Scher was secretary for a while.
Yeah.
And then now Gene Retko's got it.
Okay.
So.
And Mike Murphy, is he president right now?
He's still president.
Okay. Yeah. So.
But like one time we had 550 some members in there.
Yeah.
Throughout just in St. Cloud, Stearns County area.
Sure.
It went all the way up to Brainerd and over to Glenwood and stuff, and Alec, over to Mora.
Sure.
And down to Monticello.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the area.
Okay. All right.
And we had a few members that were from outside the local, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Some great memories.
Yeah.
Well, then as you got the bigger band going there, you played a lot of these dance halls throughout
the Central. I went to the Surveys in 1960, and in 61 I started the six-piece band.
Okay.
And then went on from there. And that worked out for a while until Jerry Blenigan used to take the music home all the time, the trumpet music stuff, to practice on and stuff. And his house sort of caught fire, so then the music was gone, so we had to rewrite the music again.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
The concertina music was all written up for a C band, and then after that, the guys got, I started playing E flat and wrote up a few numbers E flat, and they thought it was
better.
So much easier to play E flat than have to play little sharps. So then I changed over and I went to E flat concertina.
Oh, yes.
And I use a low E flat.
Okay. What concertinas did you have there in your days?
Well, those way back, I had Arnold's. With E flat first, and then I went to Stradivarius. Now I got a Stratovox.
Okay.
Which you play, I got a bass horn effect in it.
Okay.
It also plays piano and the bass.
Okay.
All on the left side.
All on the
so
left side.
A lot of the recordings that are recorded with the band now, especially with the Stradivarius concertina, has all got the Elkavox sound and Vox Starbox on it.
Okay. So, yeah, you did a recording here, and this has been out for a couple of years now. When did you actually record? Was this all excerpts from different jobs over
this
the years?
This was recorded at the Delman Ballroom on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, really?
Right on the stage.
Okay.
That was a great place to play.
It was. Oh, it really
and
was.
The sound of it came out so perfect and everything.
You bet.
And that's taken right off of that.
It is, huh?
I put it on. I taped it right on my music stand.
Uh-huh.
It was taped on my music stand. And then from there, we worked off of that.
Oh, my goodness. Took it into Hammond Media, had it produced, and so at least you have the memories.
We did that for our anniversary. That's amazing.
In our 50th wedding anniversary, he had that done.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, nice. And that anniversary just happened to go by the other day again, huh?
Yes, it did.
Uh-huh. May 10th, did they tell me?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. And now 5 years later, so
yes.
55. Congratulations,
yes.
You guys.
Thank you.
On the way to forever.
On the double digits now.
Yes, the double digits. Well, your legal speed limit now for sure, 55.
Something to keep in mind.
Uh-huh. Well, we've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. We're going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you and we'll continue this conversation. So, Cy here on behalf of the St. Joe Meat Market. And Memorial Day is this weekend, and a great time for some outdoor activities, boating, fishing, camping, visiting the cemeteries, or maybe just staying at home and working around the yard. Whatever your choice of activity, you're sure to work up a powerful appetite. Stop by the St. Joe Meat Market for great grilling ideas. There's marinated chicken or pork, all sorts of brats, wieners, hamburger patties, fresh-cut pork and beef steaks, just some of the items you'll find in the meat cases this week. On sale this week, while supplies last, are pre-cut, fresh, frozen T-bone steaks, just $12.99 per pound. The regular price is $19.79 per pound. Also, a nice supply of mason jar rings, lids and rings, and lids for both wide and regular-sized jars are now in for the upcoming canning season. They have been hard to come by the last few years, so stock up now. While you can. Little play on words there. While you can. All right. The brat of the week this week is our smoked holiday brats in honor of the Memorial Day weekend. We're calling it our red, white, and blue brat, or military brat, in honor of those who have served our country so admirably all these many years. This week you can come in, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. Thank you, and have a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. Al, for being our guest on the program, you know how it works. We put up that package and pass that off to you and hope that you and Marge and those around you enjoy it in good health. That been working out okay?
It's working out great. We had the St. Joe brats ready.
You did, huh?
Yeah, and they're as good as ever.
That's great. Got to figure out how we can get you on a more regular basis so you can just get a continuous supply coming in, huh?
Come back every week.
There you go. Well, very good. Well, that kind of leads us into our theme for today's program. We were going to talk somewhat about the Delwyn Ballroom and, of course, honor Betty as well. And so you had mentioned the Delwyn Ballroom, and that was in St. Joe. And who did you play the first job there?
Butch Wolf and I played the first in the grand opening there.
The grand opening? Yeah. Okay, very good. And the Delwyn Ballroom, that was owned by Eddie and
Dolores Mueller.
Yeah. Mueller. All right. And
another comment, I helped build the stage there.
You did?
Jerry Goldman and I were the carpenters on it.
Is that right? Oh, my goodness. And so, I was on that thing a few times. That was a nice stage.
It was very nice. And everything was done well there. As far as the song goes, all the bands that played it said it was the nicest place to play.
You were good friends with Eddie and Dolores.
How did
that come about? That, I mean, they were polka dancers. They loved polka music. Oh, yeah. But how did he ever come about building a ballroom in St. Joe?
Well, I guess that goes from the Muellers when they had the barn dances.
Okay. Oh, he was related to the Muellers out there on Cold Spring Road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they always had that idea that he wanted a ballroom. And knew how he wanted it built, and boy, they designed it beautifully.
Yeah,
boy.
It was a beautiful one.
Yeah, it was just a shame that there wasn't somebody that was there to rescue it and take it over. And the times are tough these days for the entertainment industry. Liability insurance is so expensive, and it's been tough on a lot of ballrooms, so they've gone by the wayside. But you think back of all the great bands that come into the Delwyn there. Carl and his Country Dutchmen, they were there how many times?
Yeah.
Boy, they had some big names,
big,
huh?
Big name
Boxcar
bands,
Willie and some of the country shows that came in.
And that part of it, they should have kept up going.
Yeah,
Do more of that, and I think they would have done well with it.
Yeah. And then Eddie had it for a lot of years, and then they sold it, huh?
Yeah.
They sold it, and I don't know who the owners were, but I know the Tropics got in there for a while.
For a while, yeah.
And they never were able to buy it, but otherwise I think they would have done well with it because they did. Sophie was living at that time, and Rita, those gals ran it, and boy, they were doing a good job.
They were good, yeah.
We had some other banquets there. I know the Spearing Banquet, we were there for a couple of years, I believe. Nice place to have a meal and good food there.
Good food.
Everything was really, really good. That was the Delwyn. Another great ballroom, and this one probably my all-time favorite, the Granite City Coliseum of St. Cloud, Minnesota. Boy, Cy Sockery and Webb Daniels, they were long-time owners there.
They were great people.
When it comes to ballroom owners, they were top of the class there. They were.
We had big band names come from New Ulm, Elmerscheid. He thought that was a sign, and Webb, they were the best ballroom operators in Minnesota.
Yeah, and they probably were. Yeah. I don't think I ever bought a drink at the Coliseum there. Cy, he provided the beverages for the band every night. That's the only ballroom that I ever seen that did that, and they could do that back in those days.
Elmerscheid
I think Whoopi.
Harold Luffenbacher.
Yeah.
When they came up, see, we had our boots right across from the floor, from the dance band.
Okay.
And they'd come and they'd sit down by us all the time so they could listen to the band.
Oh, sure.
And Six Fat Duster and Harold Luffenbacher, he used to come there ready at 8:30, be sitting in our boot already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then he had the band, and if the band got there early, then they rehearsed all their new numbers and everything like that.
Okay.
And then at one time there was a guy that wrote music, I sort of forget his name right now, wrote music for the band.
Okay.
And then they'd bring those numbers up, and then they'd do that.
Was it Slivers de Once?
No,
not,
it was
not Slivers.
There was a few
good writers. That's the one that come to my mind first. But
I'm trying to think of his name. I can't think of it right now.
Yep. Sure. But
I'll get on it later.
Yeah. Well, special for me was Granite City Coliseum was where I met my wife. And a lot of people met their future spouses at those dances. We should have just asked you before we got into this. How did you guys meet? Where did you find Marge? Or did she find you?
I needed a ledger book or something for the band. And she worked at this
security book. security printing.
Oh, yeah.
And I went in on a Friday night to pick up some, to pick up a deal to put right there, do the bookkeeping for the
band. Sure, sure.
And she was working in there.
Uh-huh.
And then after I got all done, and then I told her that I was going to head out to the fairgrounds, and she says, well, that's where I'm going, too. Oh. I'll be there, too.
Oh, yeah. So,
that's the way we got started.
All right. And, boy, that's a nice segue. That takes us to the next ballroom we were going to travel to. And that is the Fairgrounds Ballroom over in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. And a lot of great proprietors over the years there, too, as well. Ralph Huttmaker is the one that I remember.
And then...
Who, did you ever think of who the one was before that? Was it one of the Bulows or...
Cliff Bulow, yeah. He was there for quite a few years, yeah.
Okay. Did Cy Sacre, did he own it?
Cy and Webb owned it at last. Yeah.
Oh, they owned it at the last?
They were last year, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where we had our shower dance, Janet and I.
Yeah.
The whole family, the whole Sheffers family there, that's where all the dances always were. And back in those days, that's what people did. They always had a shower dance.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Quite often a wedding dance, but it's just a great time to get together. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And a great place to meet people. I know a good friend Lester Schuft always says that back in the days, that was where the whole family could go. The grandpas and grandmas would sit in the booth and rock the babies, and the young couples would get out and dance, and the young ones that were just sprouting, they would go slide across the floor.
It was a big family affair way back then.
So then from the fairgrounds, and we're mentioning a lot of the ballrooms that were operating back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, back in central Minnesota. Coming down the road west, before the freeway, it was the Lakeview Ballroom in Avon.
Yep.
Gus Licky.
Yeah, he built it. That was a nice ballroom.
Yeah.
They had all the nice sceneries all the way around the ballroom.
Painted up,
it
was like a wallpaper, or it was like a big mural all around.
I don't even know how they put that on there, but that was nice.
It was, and it had a low ceiling, so it could get a little loud in there.
A little loud and smoky.
And smoky, yeah. Back in those days, smoking was allowed.
The smoking just hung there.
For sure. Yeah. But yeah, it was a pretty ballroom. And you know, one of the things about a lot of the ballrooms back in those days were they were built on a lake, on the shores of lake.
Shores of lakes, yeah,
and
a lot of them.
I always enjoyed that when we went to the different ballrooms, and they were built on a lake. And on a Saturday night or a Friday night, summertime like this, the weather's so nice. We'd usually get there early, so a lot of times we'd get set up, and then we'd walk down by the water. It was always nice. And as you played throughout the evening, of course, back in those days, most of them weren't air-conditioned or anything.
Open,
so
windows wide open.
Yeah, they had those shutters. And I'm thinking of Pelican Lake, which is another one we're coming up to here. But so Avon had that little lake or a pond there out the back there. And just a beautiful place to play music. I remember one of the last times that I went to the ballroom. I think Dave Bergman earned it, owned it then, and they called it, changed the name to Dino's.
Dino's, yeah.
And Vern Steffel and the Whoopi John Band came up there. I've never seen that ballroom so packed. My goodness, that was quite the deal. Here's one next on the list, the Cold Spring Ballroom. This is one I never got into.
Yeah, Arnie Speed had that for many years.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Bouchers had it at last, I think.
Okay.
They were from Waite Park.
And that was built, that was on the site where the Blue Heron is
right
now, huh?
Right now, yeah.
Off of Highway 23. Did you play there, Al?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
A lot of times?
A lot of weddings and showers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a going place back in those days, too, huh? They had some bigger bands come in there, some big names. And so, great ballroom. Moving down the road west, Richmond Coliseum and Elmer Niehaus, one of the great proprietors
He was there for many years.
And then Earl Schmidt owned it.
Took it for, pretty much on the end.
I think he sold it to the wrestler, Rock and Roll Zuma, had it for a short time. And the ballroom's still there. It's one of the few ballrooms still standing. I know if you want to have an occasion there, you can bring a band in. You can hire a band. And I'm not sure if The Hemishes still own it, or who has it now?
I don't remember who's got it now, because
I know there was a Hemish that had it. They had remodeled it.
They still do.
And fixed it up. But that was always considered home. I started out with Tony and Betty, but then moved to Ray Dronald Band there, back right in high school yet. And that was like our home stomping grounds there, because Ray was from Richmond. So we played New Year's Eve there for many, many years. And, of course, prior to that, the Gil Stiles Band played there, too. Yeah. So, yeah, great ballroom, great fun. Cedar Point Ballroom in St. Augusta, going the other way. Another ballroom suburb of St. Cloud. And, boy, they used to draw some crowds over there, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was always a nice place.
Did you remember the owner of that one?
Oh, let's see. I'm trying.
That one escapes me, too. I know.
Leo Airsman, I think.
Was it Airsman?
I think it's Leo.
Leo, yeah.
Was his name, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the Kimball Ballroom. That one we've been to a number of times. In my later years, I played a lot with Harlan Panoff, with the Harlanders, and we got down into that southern area there quite a bit. Played Harold Schmitz owned the ballroom, and Harold was a cousin to my mother.
We knew Harold Dorothy we won.
So, beautiful ballroom.
We played a lot of New Year's there, New Year's Eve there,
Okay.
A lot of them were 20 below zero ones.
That was where the days when we had real winters, huh? All righty. Then moving from Kimball over to Eden Valley, the Eden Lakeside Club, I think it was called for a while.
It was sort of a roller rink at one time, too.
Oh, was it actually? Okay.
And then they turned it into a ballroom, and the Hags had it way back then.
Uh-huh.
And, we played there for many years.
A couple of good friends from St. Joe, Cold Spring, Butch Wolf, and Cy Prom.
Cy Prom, they had it for a while.
They bought it, and they had it going pretty darn good there for a while. Absolutely. And now it's still operating yet. Eden Lakeside Club, I think it's called. And I don't know if they have dances, but I know they have different occasions there, different events there. So
and they have food there.
And food, yes. Yep. So always a big item, you bet. And then we move up to Roscoe, Al's Tavern in Roscoe. Yeah. That was another one we played a lot of jobs at.
Oh, yeah.
And a fun place again. Yeah, good people there in Roscoe. And that was Hageman, huh?
Al
Hageman had it for a number of years. Then we travel over to Spring Hill out in the country there.
Yeah.
Spring Hill Ballroom. That's where I played my first job with Ray Dronnell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Played, and I don't know what it was called back then. I think it was something else. It wasn't the Spring Hill Ballroom. I know we called it Spring Hill, but... now, in the past years, it's been called, the Horseshoe Bar and Ballroom in Spring Hill. And I think, is it Dwayne Berg that had it?
I don't remember. Passed away now.
And Irene still owns it, his wife, and their family. Then over to New Munich.
Yeah.
Another great venue. Boy, they had some romp and stomp and good times over there in New Munich.
Oh, yeah, years back,
Oh, my gosh. The Schifflers, of course, owned that.
Yeah.
Whiff Schiffler back in the days.
Yeah, he was a good manager, too.
Yes, he was. And then his son, Irv took it over.
Took it over later,
Irv had that one and the Green Lantern over there in St. Anthony.
Yeah.
And that one was more of a bar, but they did all the... trying to think of the... The young guy that came in there for all those, that rock and roll, what's his name? Gosh, I can picture it. I know all my brothers and sisters will always go to that. I'll think of it in a minute. So, but at any rate, they had a lot of entertainers come in there. And sadly, that one burnt down. And that was the end of that ballroom.
Cold Spring Ballroom burned too.
Was the Cold Spring one also one caught fire? Okay.
Granite City Coliseum.
Coliseum, that was turned into a furniture store, and then caught on fire. So then we travel up the interstate all the way to Sox Center, and Sox Center Coliseum, ballroom there in Sox Center on the shores of the lake again. And I don't know, did you know the owner there?
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Long time ago, huh? Yeah. We played there once or twice that I recall, and so... But, again, just a nice venue for a ballroom there. It was right on the shores of the lake.
Yeah.
Then Round Prairie, the Log Cabin Ballroom in Round Prairie.
Yeah.
I don't remember being that at that one. You played there, Al?
Oh, yeah.
You did, huh? Oh, yes. Now, Margie's got it. Johnny Holmes, that's the one I was trying to think of. I knew it was Johnny, but I couldn't think of the last name. But Johnny Holmes, and he's still entertaining today yet.
Yes.
He was a youngster back then, and I think he's still a youngster today yet. But keeps going with the younger group there and entertaining the young folks. Yeah, at New Munich, you bet. All right, from Round Prairie and the Log Cabin, then there was Browerville, two ballrooms over there.
Yep.
The Knotty Pine Ballroom, tell me a little bit about that
That didn't go for that long of a time. It was there for, I forget how many years, but that was a nice, sort of nice place to play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the Horseshoe Bar Ballroom on the shores of Horseshoe Lake there in Browerville. Yeah. There I played with you maybe once or twice.
Yeah, Harold Cheetah had it.
Yeah, I think I played trumpet at that time. Yet yep. I was first starting out, and you had asked me to play when I was off, came along, and I remember that one being a very nice ballroom too.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And then over to Clarissa, and played there many times. Clarissa Ballroom, I don't know the owners there. They've went through a few, but... again, that one's still going yet. They're going to have their Polka Fest coming up on this upcoming weekend, Memorial Day weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Talked with Loretta Gerrish of the Leon Olson Band. They're going to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
Julie Lee we had on a few weeks back. She's going to be there. Jerry and Joyce Band are going to be there. So some great entertainment for this weekend up at Clarissa Ballroom in Clarissa. Here's the next one we're going to talk about is the Elgon Ballroom in Alexandria.
Yep.
Beautiful ballroom. It was a big ballroom. My goodness, that was a big ballroom. Did you play there too, Al?
Oh, a lot.
Did you?
A lot of weddings. We had a lot of double weddings and stuff up there. It was
did you?
Not to go up there and they'll have a double wedding going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Same day.
Yeah. And I don't know if that one is still standing
or not.
That's gone, huh?
It's gone, but somebody said that... possibly the four from that went to the Freda Ballroom.
Oh, to the Freda Ballroom.
I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Maybe some people would know whether it did or not, but some people had told me that probably went there.
Okay. Then over to Glenwood. Here's another ballroom, beautiful ballroom that was on the shores of the lake.
Yeah.
Lake Minnewaska there. And we played there a number of times. Yeah. That owner, I remember being very strict, he was, he liked things. He used to tell us, critique us, the Ray Dronald Band. We had a lot of young kids there and played there quite often. And he used to say, you need to play your polka so they swing and the waltzes, you know. He knew what he wanted. And we just thought, well, we're playing all the right notes. What's he asking for, you know? But as you get older and you got to other dances and you heard other bands, you kind of picked up what he was referring to. And he was only trying to help us. He was really a good owner. He always paid us well, and good guy. And that was a beautiful floor, too, as I recall. Nice dance hall.
Nice one.
You bet. Well, we skipped over St. Anna, the Pelican Lake Ballroom. We're back in Stearns County. The Shemindas, Steve, or Stan Sheminda, had it back in the days, and then his son Ron and Ron's wife Pat, they took it over.
They still have it.
They still have it today. Still
good chicken down there.
Chicken fries on Tuesday night, and boy, that is some good stuff over there.
Yeah.
And again, built on the shores of Pelican Lake, another nice dance hall, and we've been there just many times over the years. The Shemindas liked the Polish music, really.
Oh,
yeah. Ron, he loved getting the Jolly Brothers in there the Rosinskis. And boy, those guys played there. And they used to just pack the house there. That was some good times. We were there for some of those as well. Here's another ballroom in Stearns County, the St. Wendell Ballroom. And you played there too, Al?
Oh, yeah.
You did, huh?
Mostly weddings, yeah.
And I found out who owned the ballroom.
What was that?
Was a Pogacnik.
Was that?
Yeah, I think it might have been Eddie Pogacnik is what they said.
Oh, yeah?
I found out from a good friend here just a few nights ago that told me about that. And, in fact, it is still standing yet. It's been converted into a wood shop, and that's still owned by Pogacnik. So that's what's happening over there in St. Wendell.
And Hoopy John played there way back in 1944.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. I wonder if my grandpa didn't play there, too. I think Al Alling and the Blue Jackets, I think they played there. St. Wendell, that was a romping, stomping good town over there. You bet. Then we talk about the Fun Center in Holdingford. You bet. And
I can remember that. We played there one time, and we got set up to play, and I was just getting ready to announce the first number, and I thought I heard sort of a knock on the back door, and I didn't think of nothing about it. Started playing, and here got going to the second number, and here comes Steve Tominder right across the floor, sliding trombone along with him, gets up on the stage, and before I played the last number, he was playing.
Oh, really?
And after I got done, I went over there and says, Steve, I says, I don't remember calling you to play this job.
Yeah.
And he said, you didn't? I said, no. Oh, he says, I'm supposed to be in Bolas.
Well, you had an extra musician for a while then, huh?
But it was really funny. He got up there and before I got done playing that third number, he was playing one.
Oh, that's a fun memory. You bet. Then we travel up to Little Falls. Here's another great ballroom. Yep. And talking about first dance jobs, that was the first paid job that I played for Tony and Betty. We played trumpet at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Went up to Little Falls, and I remember playing Ray Dolman, Ollie Kerbin.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, who was
those
playing
were the best.
Bass horn? I think was Dave Pieringer in those days.
Yeah.
I think Mickey was drumming, Betty on piano, Tony on concertina. Yeah, I mentioned Ray Dolman and Bob Tomporowski on the saxes there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we were 7 or 8 piece that night. So, yeah, that was a fun job.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, again, a beautiful ballroom. And that one's still going today. And trying to think of the guy's name, Will. I think it's Will something. Owns that ballroom in Little Falls. And I think they might still have an occasional. They did have dances up till COVID, so I'm not sure how it is now. Yeah. Then there was a place in Piers called the Fun Center, huh?
Yeah.
That one I didn't know about. I didn't ever hear about that one.
That sort of came up later. But the way back in 44, they had a dance hall there, too. Whoopi John played there.
Oh, really?
And it was called, let's see, where's my... No, here's this first one here. False, I think it was False Ballroom or something.
Okay.
False, F-A-U-S-T, Dance Hall, Piers.
False Ballroom in Piers, huh?
Yeah, and that was when Whoopi John played there.
Okay. Another ballroom in that area, that was Little Rock Pavilion over on Little Rock Lake.
We played a lot of New Year's Eve there, too.
Is that the one that became the King's Inn then?
That's the King's Inn.
Yeah, and I don't think it's open now. It looks like it's all boarded up. And So some of those, if they weren't maintained, they just kind of went to heck. So that's too bad. But a lot of great memories there again.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Morrill there was one called the Morrill Hall. Yep. And that one's still there yet today. Yep. My sister had some of her kids get married and have their wedding celebrations there.
Yeah.
So nice little hall there. Gutwald Dance Hall. I think I played a job over there with Butch Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I was drumming at that time, and I think we actually got over there a couple of times. And, that was some good, those farm people
Dick,
like that.
Dick Gutwald and Sam, I guess, were boys at that time.
Okay.
John was the dad that time. They ran the store and they put the shop there.
And so then... Jakesville. Where is Jakesville?
That's a little ways out of Foley on 25.
Oh, okay. North or south?
North, yeah.
North, okay.
Yeah. All right. They had a dance hall there way back in the 60s. That was
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then the Parkway. Ballroom in Foley. Yeah, been there a few times over the years.
Oh, yeah.
That's right on 23 there.
That's switch hands quite a few times there,
I think, yeah, that one is what they call Mr. Jim's now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Birch Haven Resort.
Yep.
That's one I never got to, but I've heard a lot of good stories about that one.
Yeah, we used to go deer hunting up there. We stayed there.
Oh, did you?
On that resort, yeah.
Okay.
And then we played the deer hunters dance there.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we got up there. And then I played a few jobs up there after that, yeah.
I heard a couple of good stories talking about Tony and Betty and the Deutschmeisters. One night, back in those days, you know, we didn't have vans, and so they'd usually drive with two cars. Yeah. And so Ollie Kerbin was driving, and so they drove up there, and they played the job. And so Ollie had the sidemen from St. Cloud, Ray Dahlman, and I don't know if Bob Temporowski was along or who.
Bobby Peeringer was.
Yeah, they could be. And so whoever, was it Dad or maybe even Mickey was drumming. And so they rode back with Tony and Betty. Well, when Ollie supposedly, they only got home at 6 o'clock in the morning or something. Here it was foggy or something, and it turns out that they turned the wrong way. And they wound up heading for International Falls before they finally figured out that they were going the wrong way. They got just about there before they turned around and made it all the way back to St. Cloud. So, and that was from a Birch Haven Resort dance job. So, so yeah, some great memories. The Fish Lake Ballroom in Mora, Minnesota. Yep. And that one I never played at either, I remember.
But Hoopy John played there.
He did, huh? Yep. Okay.
In 19, I think in 44, 46.
No, I assume that one was probably on Fish Lake
44.
As well, huh?
Yep.
On the lake again, too,
yep.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah, Hoopy John played way back then.
And then the Ann Lake Ballroom.
Ann Lake Ballroom.
Ogilvy. Yep. Oh, yes, another one on the lake.
A little north of Ogilvy, yeah.
Uh-huh. Traveling down the line there, Rum River Dance Hall.
Yeah, that was on Rum River. There used to be a little town. Now there's nothing there anymore.
Okay.
But there used to be a little town. They had a nice little bar there, and they had a dance hall in the back of that. But they had dances there every Saturday night.
Really? Was that on 169?
On 169,
yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard of that one then.
There's nothing there anymore, I don't think.
Pine City Ballroom. And that... No, is that that's in Princeton? You've got.
I think it's in.
Because there was a Pine City.
Pine City. Yeah.
Okay.
And that Hoopy John also played there way back then.
Yeah, we used to play a lot there too with the Ray Dronald Band. Oh yeah. My gosh, we played there. I think once a month we'd get there, and boy, did they draw crowds there.
Yeah.
Oh, the kids used to come out. The young people, they just loved to dance. Yeah, some great memories. Then coming back to Stearns County, one more great ballroom. That was over in the Luxembourg area, the Starlight Inn.
Yep.
And I remember some of the relatives, uncles and aunts, getting married over there and having their wedding receptions there. Yep. And do you remember who was the owner there?
Boy,
That escapes me too. But yeah, it might have been a Welly or...
Laner.
Laner? Could have been. Yeah. Lehnen. Yeah. But that was, if I remember right, that one had that big high stage on the one end of the hall.
Right. Yep.
So... And then the last one on the list we've got written down here is the Ferreira Ballroom in Ferreira. And you thought possibly that dance floor from the Algon Ballroom in Alexandria.
Well, that's, I had heard that one time, not possibly, but it's, no, I don't know. Maybe some people know about it and I don't.
Yeah, if that ever came to be. So, one that I'm wondering that probably qualified for a ballroom was St. Martin. They always had a hall there, and
they had a hall, and Hoopy John played there
and
too.
And he played there too.
44.
As, yeah. So yeah, we probably had add that one to the list. That wasn't a really regular dance. It wasn't a regular dance hall, I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
They had a lot of church
events.
A lot of them were
run by the churches. You know,
yes.
Like, even like Morrill and those places. A lot of them were run by the church or by a community or the town.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of dances held in them. But they were more of a parish function, so.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know if that covers all the ballrooms.
Well, the only other one here, I had Barefoot Louie down here.
Barefoot Louie's. Where was this
at? Osakis.
In Osakis, okay.
On the lake too.
Okay, on Lake Osakis.
And that was sort of a, I think it was sort of a grocery store and stuff along with it. They sold everything there.
Sure.
But there you played on a iron wheel wagon, hay rack and wagon.
Okay.
And if I remembered right, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure that the people that sat out there sat on one of these big electrical tables.
Okay.
Those wooden tables, wooden wheels.
Yep.
And then they had wooden stumps for the chairs.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah.
And well, another one there, Diamond Point. I know for a while they ran dances there.
Yeah.
But
I always heard of a lot of country dances up in that area, yeah. Diamond Point. Yeah.
And then the other one, and then after that, there came all the liquor stores and, sure. and the Eagles, the Moose, the VFWs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we didn't mention any of those. We were focusing more on the ballrooms.
Just the ballroom where they just had dances.
Right, and, right. A lot of these bars and bar clubs all just had small dance floors in the corner or so, but primarily were just a beer joint or a place to buy liquor.
Smaller gatherings.
Smaller 2-3-piece bands, something like that. You bet. So... folks know that we didn't overlook anybody, but those are pretty much of the ballrooms that were back in.
There might be more out there, but these.
Those were the main
those
ones.
Are ones that
yes,
had there,
you
yeah.
bet. Well, we should probably wiggle in a tune or two here, and we'll do that. Kind of close out the segment with Larry's Verzavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme musicians come and play. Give us just a moment to line up a few songs here. So with that, thanks a lot for all of this, Al and Marge. It's been very entertaining.
Thank you.
You bet. You. So we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Larry Verzavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there, wrapping up our 381st edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And a little different format today. We've got Al and his wife Margie, Al Cullough, in the studio here. And we've been reminiscing and talking about some of the ballrooms throughout central Minnesota and just great memories that we all have of the ballrooms. Well, we're going to get to a little music right now. We're going to feature Al Cullough and the Merrymakers. We're also going to play a few Deutschmeister tunes as well. Here's one, Al, you said it's one of your favorites, huh? One called the Guido Polka.
Yep.
And you and Tony did this one.
And Tony used my Stradivarius low E flat on
the recording?
On the recording, and I played the harmonica. Yeah.
Okay, so here it is for you. One called the Guido Polka. Oops. We hit two buttons at one time, and that never is going to work. So let's try this again. Alcala and the Merrymakers, and that was actually Al and Tony on the concertina. Tony was playing your concertina.
Yeah, my E flat, low E flat, yeah.
Uh huh. And you were on the harmonica.
Betty on the piano.
On the piano. And it was either Mickey or Lisa on the drums.
It probably could have been Lisa. I don't know.
Yeah. Not sure.
We're switching around so much over there. It was unbelievable.
That's almost a half a hundred years ago, huh?
Just about.
We all were there. We were all there for that recording.
We went through it, yeah.
Yeah, that was recorded on the Deutschmeisters and Friends. It was a two-album set that they brought out that time. And that was something that Betty and Tony came up with for an idea.
Yeah, they came up and they wanted something different on the recording and stuff. And she wanted a lot of their students
to feature their students. And she said a lot of these students will never be on a recording.
Right.
So she wanted them to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
So students like Arlene Tyson, Arlene Temporowski, she did a couple numbers. I did a couple numbers. Andy Stangler played on
Maynard
Nathy. I'd have to look inside the cover.
Thielen kids.
Oh, yeah. Terry and Todd Thielen from Cold Spring. They were there. They were students of hers. So,
and then Butch Wolf was on it.
Butch, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
That was down in the cities. Did we go to Medina or where?
No, it was a private deal.
Was it at the Holland Studio or something?
What studio? I don't know which one it was.
Okay.
But one of them down there, yeah.
Yeah, it's many years ago. That was back in the early 80s. 70s, I think.
70?
Yeah. I was just married. We were still living in the trailer house when we did this thing, so that would have been before 75, yeah. So, yeah, just looking inside the cover here. Yeah, and there's a nice picture of you and Tony sitting there, and with the harmonica. We were talking about that off the air here. That was one of those instruments that back in the days was a lot more popular, wasn't it, Al?
Yeah, it was.
You could have it in your pocket.
Carry it around,
yeah.
Do what you want with it.
Doing farm work, baling hay or whatever.
Milking
if the wagon,
cows or whatever.
when you had a break, you could sit down and just pull it out of your pocket and start pumping away, huh? Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, another one on the recording was Doreen Kulzer and Doreen's concertina band. So, yeah, from back in the days. Yeah, some neat memories there. Well, let's give them a nice old-time waltz. We're going to do one called the Lakeside Waltz. And, Al, you got a little story about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's done on my Elkavox Stradivarius concertina.
Uh-huh.
And it has the bass effect. I had a bass horn put in it. And then also piano and bass, regular bass was on it.
Okay.
And then when it was recorded, that's what I played on it.
Okay.
So the bass horn you're going to hear, I'm doing that on the left side.
That's not a bass horn. It's coming out of the concertina.
Yeah.
And there was more bands that did that. Irwin
had... he did that. In fact, even Bob Brenny had one for a while, but I don't know if he ever used it on a recording or not.
Oh, okay. That I don't know either, because he had a pretty good bass player. He had Bob Nathy back there, so you wouldn't want to insult him by using a machine. Alrighty, so here we go with Al Kala and the Lakeside Waltz. Thank you. Al Call and the Merrymakers with one called the Lakeside Waltz. And again, Al said, you said that you recorded that right on the job, right at the Delwyn Ballroom?
Delwyn Ballroom, Sunday afternoon.
On a cassette recorder.
While the people were dancing.
While the people were dancing. You would think that it was a studio recording there because didn't pick up any of the dancing noise or the people talking or anything. It was just very nice. Going to do a nice old-time polka with Al and the Merrymakers. Actually, we should first, in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, we should talk to you about Jeannie B's Tours. Yes, Jeannie Bonfig out of Freeport, Minnesota. And people, places, and planning fill Jeannie B's days as the Tons of Fun and 21 tour schedule is ready for anyone experiencing 2020 cabinitis. So, yes, Jeannie's already been traveling, and they've had some fun trips, and we're looking forward to Medora. That's going to be July 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th as we travel with Jeannie B's Tours out to Medora. I believe it's North Dakota, and it's the Pitchfork Fondue Music Festival out there. So I'll be finding out more about it as I talk to Jeannie down the road. But, yeah, they are doing lots of trips these days already. And so check out Jeannie's itinerary there. Yes, it includes the fall colors of the Ozarks, the Branson Holiday Tours, including favorites like Daniel O'Donnell and the Presley family. They're going to go to Door County, Wisconsin, the Cape Cod of the Midwest. Also the Westward Ho, and that's including the Medora musical. And then Yellowstone and the Grand Teton Parks and the Black Hills, the Ark Encounter Creation Museum Experience, Sites of Duluth and Bayfield. That's just mentioning a few of the various places included in this year's schedule. Then, of course, Jeannie does the Daycations, and that is tours to the various casinos for a day. And they also have the overnighters, yeah, the sleepover tours also happening, and that began 28th and 29th of April. So lots of fun to be had when you travel with Jeannie B's Tours. Of course, you know Jeannie, she brings treats along all the time. There's nothing like homemade cookies, and boy, it's a fun time when you travel with Jeannie B's Tours. So for more information to get on one of these various trips or to find out more about one of the various trips to get a brochure, give Jeannie a call. Her phone number, 320-345-1581. Again, that's 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours, yes, her email address is jeanniebtours@gmail.com. And her website is jeanniebtours.com. Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 13 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, back to 66 degrees here in central Minnesota. Music continues with Al Kalla and the Merrymakers. And again, this one was recorded with the Deutschmeisters and Friends. Good old time polka, Schneider Polka. What do you remember about this one, Al? Oops, I got to get you live here. There you go. What do we remember about this one?
It's done on Stradivarius, low E flat, Mazette.
Uh-huh.
And it's a number I always played a lot on harmonica, too. So.
Okay.
Those are some of the numbers.
Very good. Here he is, Al Kalla and the Merrymakers and the Schneider Polka. recording there of the Schneider Polka, El Cola on the concertina there. And that was recorded back in the days with the Deutschmeisters and friends. Well, Al, we had mentioned a good friend, Betty Wolf, her death anniversary today, the 23rd. Yep. We'll do a couple numbers. Betty was such a vibrant person, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She had a great singing voice, loved to sing in the German.
Loved to sing and loved to fish, deer hunt.
Yeah. Lived life to the fullest, really.
Yep.
Yeah. And
I can remember them, they'd play on a Sunday night, they'd come home Monday morning, or Tuesday morning for sure, if she didn't have lessons, they'd be up north fishing.
Up
north.
Well, I always said that this particular number coming up right here, Fez Fritzy probably had the number one recording for a male vocalist, but I think Betty would get the award for a female vocalist.
She would, yeah.
Yep, the Deutschmeisters and one called Tante Anna. Deutschmeisters with one called Tante Anna, as we remember Betty Wolf, Betty's death anniversary on May 23rd today, 13 years ago today. And boy, that just gets your toes a-tapping, doesn't it, when you listen to that?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, talking about all those ballrooms and stuff, just you close your eyes and you think you're back at the Granite City Coliseum there.
Yeah.
And I think that was my dad drumming in the background there. Of course, Bob Tomporowski harmonizing behind Betty there, but boy, she had a great singing voice, and she could sing that German. Did you guys talk German too as well?
We never got into it, really. You know?
Not so much, but boy, she could talk German with the best of them.
Yeah.
So, well, we're in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM, and that is always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand, Zero Turn Lawnmowers, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. The Hustler, probably the original zero-turn lawnmower, helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin has new models in stock. Get out there and check them out. Got a nice big yard there to try them out, and Kevin would love to have you stop by and look them over. Kevin does repair work on all makes and models, so he can sharpen your blades, change your belts and hoses, lubricants, whatever needs fixing or changing on your mower. And, of course, if your old Bessie's getting a little tired, he'll make you a sweet deal on one of those brand-new Hustlers. Also exciting news from Kevin's. He took on the Eagle Power line of battery-powered equipment. And so now he carries all of that. And he's got the power head there with the four attachments. So you can get a weed trimmer, edger, chainsaw, all four of those different attachments there. He's also got the battery hedge trimmer, the leaf blowers, the portable blower, and also the backpack blower. There's a push lawnmower, and also the string trimmer and chainsaw, all powered by that 56-volt power system. So check them out when you get out to Kevin's, and he'd love to get you outfitted with that equipment as well. So check that out when you get out to Kevin's. Great place to go. And like always, for more information, give Kevin a call. His phone number, 320-363-7459. Once again, 320-363-7459. Mr. Kevin Mauger does such a great job out there. That's Kevin's Countryside, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. As you're heading north out of St. Joe, look for the big yellow and orange sign hanging from the big post in the ditch. You can't miss it. It's on the west side of the road, about 6 miles out. Kevin's Countryside, proudly bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Well, we'd sort of be remiss if we didn't play this one by Betty. She kind of wrote her own epitaph when she did the song Take Me Back to Eden Valley. It's actually music to the song Take Me Back to Renfro Valley, is what I'm told, mm-hmm. And she changed the lyrics. And it kind of tells her life story, I think. So, And we get so many requests for this one here. Yep. So, great song by Betty and the Deutschmeisters. Take Me Back to Eden Valley.
I was born in Eden Valley, but I've drifted far away. I've been back to see the old home and my friends of other days. Gone were old familiar faces, all the friends let me sleep forever there. When it's springtime in the valley, where the apple blossoms glow, we'll be back in Eden Valley, as in days of long ago.
The Deutschmeister is there with Take Me Back to Eden Valley, and we think that Butch was playing the concertina on that one. That was recorded twice. Once, the second time it was recorded, John and Betty recorded it with Lisa and Mary doing the drumming on that live recording that they did. But the first recording was done with Deutschmeisters and Friends, and I believe that was Butch playing concertina.
Yeah,
so... Yeah, again, remembering Betty Wolf, just a great personality, yeah. So full of life.
She did a lot for the concertina players in Central Minnesota.
She really did. You bet.
She taught a lot of them.
You bet.
A lot of people that got taught there.
Yeah, just a great. She was thought of so highly. She knew all of the great writers. She knew Frank Gonzalez and the Waters. The Waters was the one that was trying to... Pat Waters from Duluth. And, they had those concertina displays, like you mentioned before. They had that for a number of years.
Yep.
We were both on those pictures. They took a picture every year of all the students. And, God, what was there, 50, 60,
over
70?
50, 60 at the Coliseum at St. Cloud.
Granite City Coliseum. It was always on the last Sunday in January. And had some snowstorm some of those years.
Yeah.
Boy, it was touch and go to get there, but... Yeah, those were some great memories. Well, we're coming up on 2 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. We've run a little overtime. We're going to close out this edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Al, we're going to feature you once again on the concertina, one called Al's Landler. And there's a story about this one, huh?
Well, I just started playing that at the dance jobs and stuff like that. And after a while, the people started coming up and requesting that. I said, you got to play that. So.
And you've received a number of requests from musicians asking for, they recognize it as your song, Al's Landler, and they ask you for permission to record it. And pretty honoring thing, isn't it? Neat.
Yeah, it's nice. I forget the band that recorded it. I should know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's...
There's been several of them, I know.
Play it, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, so good. Well, with that, we're going to play Al's Landler.
Thank you.
Elslander, Al Cullen and the Merrymakers with Elslander, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Again, we want to thank Al and Margie for coming in today, and that wraps up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.